You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. While you're at PrepperRecon.com, stop by the Prepper Recon Supply Store. We've got a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and our new concealed carry tactical slings. All the packs and slings come with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. We have some very cool Moulin Lab patches, Come and Take It patches, Sheepdog, Zombie Response Team, and matching U.S. flag patches. Of course, we still have our fully stocked Molly-compatible individual first aid kits as well. Just click the store tab at the top of the PrepperRecon.com homepage.
When a dark plan forged by the world's elite brings disaster to the nation, two unlikely friends must rely upon each other for survival. Will they live long enough to expose the powers that be? Find out in the new novel, The Chaos Agenda, by Seth Evanoff. They have a plan for the future, refuse to follow it. The Chaos Agenda, available in Kindle and print on Amazon.com.
Today's guest is Gavin Syme. Gavin is a Liberty speaker and former congressional candidate from Washington State. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here. Should be fun.
Absolutely. Now, Washington State Representative David Taylor was on the show back in November to talk about Initiative 594. Unfortunately, it passed. Can you explain that to us and tell us a little bit about what you're doing to fight it?
Well, yeah, essentially, obviously, 594, as Representative Taylor discussed, is one of the most draconian, if not the most draconian, unconstitutional, lawless gun restriction we've ever seen. And it was pushed through with tens of millions of dollars of out-of-state funding by the people who want to take away our liberty, who want to take away our guns and our right to protect our families, and under the guise of, well, it's background checks, it's safety, and the uninformed fell for it, is what happened. Ultimately, what it really is it's one huge step towards completely taking our guns, because it makes something as simple as handing your gun to a friend to go hunting a felony. And we know how they've abused felonies. Felonies didn't used to be historically what they are now. Now they make anything a felony pretty much anything they want to, whereas in the past, a felony was pretty much a capital crime in early America. So now they say, well, look, you're a felon now, and guess what? Felons don't get to have guns, so all you've got to do is make everyone a felony, and then you can take everyone's guns. So we can kind of see where they're going with this. The bottom line is, this law is lawless, it's unconstitutional, and I came out about a month ago, I made a video encouraging people not to vote for this law. But then I said, look, if this law passes, I don't know about you, but I'm not complying with it. I'm not giving up my birthright and my children's birthright, and I'm not licking the boot of tyrants, and I'm going to stand up for the liberty of my children. And so as soon as this passed, I went out and I started an event that I think we're going to see expand into other areas, but it's called the I Will Not Comply Rally. And the first one is coming up here in Olympia on December 13th, which is just after the law legally goes into effect. And this is not your ordinary protest. We're done playing games. We're going to get together. We're going to be peaceful, but we are going to uphold the law. And what we're going to do is openly and blatantly violate every part of I-594 that we possibly can. And this goes back to something I talk about a lot when the framers were making the Constitution. Alexander Hamilton was debating it, and it was well agreed, and Alexander Hamilton stated in Federalist 78 that any law which violates the Constitution is void. So what people are starting to understand with this event is that I-594 is not a law. I-94 is lawless legislation. But lawless legislation, meaning it's in conflict with a higher law, in this case both our state and the United States Constitution, it's not law. It's void the moment it's written. It's not law, and we are not going to obey it. We are not going to comply. And so we've got this rally, and it's just exploded. I mean, it's up to coming up on 6,000 people, I think. There's caravans coming from other states, because people are saying, we're sick and tired of this. And there's some groups here in the state that seem to be trying to kind of neuter it. They say, well, let's just get together and have a protest. And I'm not saying protests are bad. In a way, this is a protest, but it's more than a protest. It's a movement because we're done sitting silent. We're done saying we're going to complain, but we're going to let you do whatever you want and we're going to let you trample us. We're done tolerating the lawlessness.
And the law was intentionally written to be confusing. Is that correct?
Oh, the law is so absurd that it's like I've seen a flow chart where it's like, here's how you determine if you're in compliance with the law. And it's hilarious because it's so obscenely complicated. And it's one of those laws. Think about this. Think about how they try and twist the Second Amendment, which isn't open for debate, but they say, well, there's a comma here or a comma there. Always be aware when legislation is being passed, when it's 20 pages long, it's probably because they're up to something no good. Because the more words you insert, the more vague you are. What I-594 essentially is it's clear that you can't give a gun to a friend. You can't buy a gun from somebody privately without going through a dealer and getting background checks. But even more than that, the way it's put together, it can be twisted any way that the government wants it to be.
And do you think that that's part of the reason that our founders set this country up to be a republic rather than democracy, so the ignorant couldn't get tricked into voting away their rights?
Well, exactly. In fact, this is even addressed in the Federalist Papers, the idea of you have a constitution, and that affirms, not grants, but affirms our absolute God-given rights, like the right to speech, the right to life, liberty, property, due process, guns. So this isn't just about guns. It's about liberty in general, because the reason they're going after the guns, Mark, is to take away the others.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, and I put an article on the blog a couple days ago that addressed this, why I-594 is not law and why we as the citizenry can legally violate it. Because there's this misnomer in the country that the government loves you to believe that says, well, we made a law, therefore you have to follow it. And people tend to go along with this. You know, a lot of times the groups and the conservative and the Christian groups, they have this outlook of, well, we're supposed to follow the laws of the land and this and that. And so as a Christian myself, I struggled with that for a while until I really started studying it and realized even from that perspective, to follow the law, you have to understand the nature of law. And when you look at law, and this isn't my concept of law. This goes back to the founders. It goes back to John Locke, Frederick Bastiat, you know, the kind of people that made up America and the studies and the political philosophy that was used when America was founded. Law exists to protect life, liberty, and property. And anything that is outside those boundaries is not law. Now, in this case, we have our constitutions that affirm that. So when the legislature or the people collectively, the collective uninformed majority votes to take away somebody's rights, that's not law. And people say to me, well, the people have spoken. It's irrelevant what the people have spoken on something that violates someone else's supreme rights, because you don't have a right to vote away the rights of your neighbor.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge problem. And I know you're speaking about Romans 13 that says everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by God. And the top tier authority for America is the Constitution. And our founders made sure when they wrote that they wanted to make sure let everybody know who was responsible for enforcing the Constitution by putting that bigger than any other words on the document, and that's we the people. So in America, the way that our law is set up, we are the ultimate authority, and the Constitution is guarantees that authority. And
exactly.
And you mentioned that even if we didn't have the Constitution, we would have that God-given right to defend ourselves, wouldn't we?
Absolutely. And that's what the framers based the revolution on in terms of the principle of it. They said, you know, we're looking to God as the founder of this. And it doesn't mean that they were all Christians and that they all agreed. So we don't have to go down that road. But that was the founding of the nation. And so they said, these are our fundamental God-given rights. And I just watched a history film about Lexington Concord the other day. And it was really, it kind of struck me, because here's these people standing against all odds, and some of them died. And as soon as a few of them fell, the people, the communities rallied together and they said, we're not tolerating this. And at one point they turned to the pastor of the community and said, do we have your blessing? And he said, go for it. And I was thinking, wow, where are those pastors today that know that standing up for what's right does not mean you just do what you're told? It means you stand up for principle and for justice and for law. And when I say law, this is where we have a huge confusion today, and I'm always trying to correct this. Law is not what the legislature made up this week. That's law if it's within the authority of the authority, because they're not the authority. Like you said, we the people are the authority. We're delegating authority to them. We're a self-governing people. We're giving our representatives and our in government a small piece of our authority. And by Joe, we can take that authority back whenever we want to. We will uphold the law. And that's what's so different about the rally that we're having. That's why it's causing such a stir, is because what's happening is, you know, these groups and these people that want to stand up for our rights, I think a lot of them have good intentions, but they're scared to cross that line. So they file for permits and they play games and they ask permission of government to stand up for what's right. And what I'm saying is, I want to work with people to organize a rally. If the government wants me to help coordinate with them so we can have order and peace, that's great. But it's like, I just got off a phone call with somebody from the state of Washington who is giving us trouble because I wouldn't sign a contract with them to do what they told me to do. You know, they have this form and they say, well, we're just getting information from you. In reality, what's happening in this form is it's a legally binding contract to do whatever they say. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So I made my own form just out of cooperation to them. And I sent in all the information that's required in their rules. And whether I acknowledge their rules is another thing, but I wanted to work with them as much as possible. But I was clear that I'm not asking for permission. If you want to give a permit to this, if you want to give the nod to this event, and so we can kind of coordinate together, that's fine. But we will be there upholding the law. So I just got off the phone with this man, and he's trying to give now the permit to some other group who decided to play ball with them that says that they're going there to do this too. And I don't know what all the intentions of this other group is. The point is, they're going in there and saying, we'll play your game. And the state's saying, okay, now we can work with that, guys. And I'm saying, absolutely not. We're not playing any of your games. We don't recognize your authority over our rights. We're here to uphold that. And that's why we're starting to get people coming from all across America to join us here in Washington on December 13th, because we're going to make history here.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Katie Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today. And speaking of not bowing down and licking the boot of the tyrant, I've just watched one of your videos on YouTube, and for anybody that hasn't seen your YouTube channel, they have to go see it, and they just look up Gavin Syme on YouTube, and all of these videos are going to pop up, but they're absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And the one I was just watching, you were being detained and searched for having a legal gun. Now, the attorney general in my state, Pam Bondi, thinks anyone carrying a gun should be presumed to be a criminal. And I'm sure you can guess which party she's from. Yeah, that's right. She's a Republican. Now, is the Republican Party flawed, or have we allowed it to be infiltrated by these sort of rhinos and gun grabbers?
You know, I think this is good to bring up because this is Veterans Day. And I was just thinking about this morning, and I made started writing a note about our veterans. And I thought, you know, all the way back to the founding of this country, these veterans spilled their blood for liberty. And the people that were really willing to stand up for liberty, it's irrelevant what patch was on their sleeve. The question is, were they standing up for what was right? Were they standing up for liberty? And so Veterans Day comes and we say, oh, happy Veterans Day. Thank a veteran. You know what veterans that actually put their life on the line for liberty want? They want us to stop being cowards. They want us to start standing up, dang it, for the liberty that they put their lives on the line for all the way back to the founding of this nation. And America is failing their children. We are failing to stand for liberty because we're playing games. We're too busy watching our football and drinking our beer and eating our Cheetos. Give 20% of that effort to start doing your job and standing up for liberty, because we're losing our liberty. We are past the stage of saying, please, representatives, give us back our rights. Give us back our liberty. I possess my rights. They are absolute and they cannot be taken away. The government has no authority. The collective uninformed majority has no authority. My rights are my own and your rights are your own. And if you are not standing up for them, you are selling out your children. You are selling out their birthright. And make no mistake that if we don't stand up now, our children and grandchildren, they're going to take back liberty at the price of blood. Because we are failing. We're saying, well, let's work with them. Let's ask permission. Let's write a letter. And that doesn't work. We're past the stage of asking permission and asking for our rights back because they're not going to give it to us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't vote. We absolutely should get strong. And I don't mean moderate. I don't mean like this Republican so-called that opposes our gun rights. And I can speak to this intimately because I just ran for Congress this year. And I was very tenacious. And while I didn't win the election, I brought the whole conversation, the whole election to the right. And I mean the real right and the real Republican. And I ran as a Republican. I have no problem with saying I'm a Republican. But when I say Republican, I'm not talking about this pathetic, neutered GOP that we have running this country. I'm talking about the Republic. I'm talking about a Republican on principle, the foundations of this nation, of our Constitution. And ironically, the Republican Party platform is in line with that. They just completely ignore it. So we've got to stop playing games. Yes, we need to start electing representatives. And I don't care what letters next to their name. I'm talking about people who will stick their neck out and not play politics. But we have to do something else. We've been silent too long. We're past the stage where we get America back by asking. It's important to elect good representatives so that they can stand with us. But our liberty must be taken back by force. And I don't mean let's go out and start a revolution. I mean we demand it. We refuse to lay it down. The sooner we do that, the more peaceful that will be. Because the last resort of good men is bloody revolution. We need to start with a revolution of the hearts. But we have to start taking a stand. So I've rambled on here. I'll let you talk. But you hit me in a sensitive nerve.
Oh, that's good stuff. Now you talked about football and Cheetos, and is that part of the problem? Are people a little bit uninformed, and are they not involved, and are they a little too involved with the sort of the Romans said the bread and circuses? Chrissy Ann Hall, she does a similar podcast, and right. She says if you don't know what your rights are, they're already gone. And do you think that's a big problem that people don't know the law?
And absolutely,
they don't know what their rights are.
Absolutely. And I've heard Chris Ann Hall speak a few times, and she's phenomenal and very enlightening. And if people don't do their homework – and the beauty of our Constitution and our liberty, people always come to me and they say, well, Gavin, how can I know what you know? Because they think I'm a lawyer. You know, I walk up and I talk to police or I'll not comply with rules and things like that. I'm not a lawyer in any sort of legal sense. In some ways, maybe I'm more of a lawyer than some lawyers because I actually know my rights and I actually know the law instead of trying to play games with it. But I'm not a lawyer. I never went to law school. I do my homework. And there's literally, like you mentioned, the time in the courthouse where they were searching me for a gun I didn't even have and that wasn't even illegal. And I went in there and I was asking for a lockbox that was legally required under state law. They can't just say in Washington, in a state or a county building, you can't have a gun here. If they say this is a secure area and you can't bring your gun here, they have to provide a lockbox that you can secure it while you go into that secure area, and then you can come back out and retrieve it. Now, when that happened, I had heard about this law, and they'd been violating this law for 20-something years. You know, you go into the courthouse, and a lot of us have seen this, and there's this absolutely no weapons allowed sign when you walk in there.
Yeah, it's a big red one with white lettering. And you're quoting the actual statute to the guy, but he thinks it's that red sign, that plastic sign with the white letters on it. He thinks that's the law. He doesn't understand that
exactly.
That's just a piece of the law that you're quoting to him. And he's so far removed from knowing what the law is and knowing that there is any other type of a law. He just thinks it's this plastic sign. And he thinks that's the law.
Well, and the irony of that plastic sign is it actually has the law number on it, the RCW on it for that law. And they do this all the time. They'll put a sign up and then they'll put the number of the law to give it, you know, to give it backbone, to give it authority. And then you will actually go and look up that law and it doesn't say anything what they're saying. It's just most people don't actually bother. So all I actually did, I wasn't such an expert on that law. I had heard that there was supposed to be a lockbox, and I walked in the courthouse that day and I thought, I don't see a lockbox in here. So I literally walked back outside, took out my phone and looked up the law right then and there. And then I walked back in. That's all it took for me to know the law because I'd heard about it. I did a quick search. I found it. I said, okay, here's the rules. I wonder why they're not obeying them. And then I walked in and said, hey, where's my lockbox? And pandemonium ensued. And, you know, they sent in the guys with their ARs and patted me down and all this fiasco. And they say, oh, look at Gavin. He's causing such a scene. And I'm like, really? Because I just asked a question. I just wanted the law to be followed. But here's the beauty of that. They tried to portray me as the radical there, except for it didn't work because we started a huge conversation and turned the county on its ear. Here's one situation, one conversation. This is what happens when you stand up for yourself and record it. If you want the conversation to spread, never take something like this on without having a camera on it because you never know what they're going to do to you. And that's kind of my number one tip to people. But you stand your ground. You know your rights. Don't freak out. Keep it calm. Keep it principled. And explain to people. This is something I always do in my videos. I explain to people why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't just sit there and be silent. And that also throws off the opposition because they don't know what to do with me as I'm sitting there explaining it. And it gives me a focus and it helps to educate people. 11 days later, there was a lockbox in that courthouse. Not because they wanted to follow the law so much. You know, the county commissioner and the sheriff, and they're coming out. Well, if Gavin had just talked to us, people had talked to him. People had sent letters. They've been in noncompliance since 1994. 20 years of noncompliance. 11 days later, suddenly there's a lockbox in there. And a little while after that, they changed out the signs and they put in signs that said what they were supposed to say. You know, no weapons allowed in certain secure areas of this building, something like that. And so people say, well, that's a little thing. And what's your big deal with lockboxes? And I say, no, that's not my big deal. And this is self-evidenced by the stands I make because I don't have any one particular issue I take on. I am sick and tired of government lawlessness. I'm sick and tired of government anarchists. And let's call them what they are. An anarchist, these guys, they have no respect for law. They make up the rules as they go. They don't agree. They don't acknowledge being bound by any sort of rule or restriction. They're going to do whatever they want. And by definition, the anarchist is not me or you, Mark. The anarchist is them. And if you really want to wig out a government official, explain to them that they're an anarchist.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the things that your videos is really doing a great job of pointing out is that the people tasked with enforcing the law really don't know what the law says. And I think another great example is your California fruit Nazi checkpoint where you were detained because of the Constitution. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Well, and now we got them a little confused. There was one in California, what people term the fruit Nazi checkpoint, and the other one was actually a Border Patrol checkpoint.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So that's the one where the guy said I was detained by the because of the Constitution. And you're right. I mean, the people dealing with this are stooges that are simply following orders. And we can laugh, but that's actually a serious thing because these guys are swearing an oath to the Constitution. They're out there essentially at the point of a gun enforcing what they're told to do, and yet they have no idea whether what they're doing is right or legal. They just say, well, that's my job. And I say, you know what? Your job excuse is irrelevant. It's irrelevant what your job is. You're either on the side of right or you're on the side of wrong. You're on the side of liberty or you're on the side of tyranny. And history, regardless of what your job was, is going to show that. You know, you don't look at the people that ran the gas chambers and say, well, it was just their job. Now, I have no doubt that some of those guys said the same thing. And we're not to that point yet, granted. But the attitude of I'm just doing my job is no different. Because if you're just willing to do your job, and I ask this to police officers and sheriffs and stuff all the time, at what point do you draw the line and decide to defend the people instead of doing what you're told?
And that didn't hold up for him in the Nuremberg trials anyway, did it?
No, it didn't. I mean, you know, it's completely contrary to history and law and all that sort of thing because everyone's personally accountable for their actions. But we're seeing a complete lack of accountability in government. They think they can get away with whatever they want. And this goes back to what you just said to people, you know, too busy watching football and drinking beer and eating Cheetos. I mean, hey, the Seahawks won the Super Bowl this year. I get it. A lot of people are into football and that's fine, but we've got to wake up. The issue is not just that we're uninformed on our rights. We are lazy cowards in America who refuse to stand on principle and say, no, we draw the line here because we don't want to give up our comforts. We don't want to give up our ease. And so I'm telling you, if we do not start standing up, we're going to lose all those things anyway. You know what? Watch your football. Do your sports. Have your passions. But make liberty some of that passion too. Make principle some of that passion because we're losing everything at the rate that we're going.
and it's not, it's, and it's our duty because, I mean, it's, we the people, that's like we talked about before, that's the top line in the Constitution, and it's bigger than all the other words, and it's our job to hold these folks accountable, whether it's, whether it's Barack Obama or, the fruit Nazi or the, or Border Patrol or the officer detaining you at the courthouse.
Right. And it all comes back to people say, well, you know, I get messages all the time. You should come to my area and do this. You should come and take on the police here. And I say, you know what? You guys should do that. My whole point is everybody needs to stand up because if we all stick out our neck a little bit, we don't have to get it chopped off.
Yeah. And you're doing a great job of it. And, yeah. And I think your videos really show that, and it takes courage to do a lot of the stuff that you're doing because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us do just, we just bow down because that's the easy thing. What you're doing is the hard thing. And you're not doing this just, it's not you, it's you and your buddy in the car with you. It's your wife and it's your children and you're putting yourself on the line. You're putting your family on the line because you realize that if you don't and you don't teach your children, what liberty is, then they're just gonna, if you just allow public re-education camps called the public schooling system to teach them what liberty is, they're not going to know. And so you're taking personal responsibility and you're risking everything to show them what liberty is and what the law is.
Well, and if we don't teach our kids, I mean, you brought up a huge thing because the establishment and the statists and the haters of liberty know, and we're seeing this happen right now. All it takes is you take the children and you change how they think. You make black white and you make good evil. And that's what's happening in our school system. I mean, obviously I don't go out and take out an encounter and say, well, let's load up my family. I want them if possible. I try to keep them out of those situations. But if I'm taking a road trip with my family, I'm not going to set an example for my kids of, well, we give up our rights when we're out as a family. That's not how it's going to work. And my kids get very informed on this stuff because they're sitting in the back seat asking questions and saying, well, what's going on here? And it's just terrible what we've done with this country because of our apathy and our cowardice and our laziness. And I – let me say – you mentioned courage. Let's talk about courage for a second because people will say, well, Gavin, you know, you're so courageous. I like it when, you know, when people recognize that people like me are out there sticking their neck out. That's good. And I'm glad that they're seeing that and I hope they're learning from it. But there's an important thing to remember about courage. I'm not different than the rest of us. Courage has nothing to do with not being terrified. It has nothing to do with not being afraid. It has everything to do with necessity. And people think, well, Gavin likes going out and getting into these situations. And, you know, yeah, I'm more used to it than some people. I know how to handle it pretty well now. But it wasn't that long ago that I had never done this before. And I said, I have to do this. I have to stand up because that's principle. That's what's right. And I don't really enjoy these. And I still have the fear. I have no idea what's going to happen. Sometimes my adrenaline is going to the point where I'm ill afterwards because it's so much, you know, it's such a impact for your adrenaline and your mind to deal with that. And I don't say that for sympathy. I say that because we all deal with the exact same thing. And it's true. You have to pick your battles. I mean, there's times when I'm driving down the road and I say, you know what? I can't take every single fight every time. But on the other hand, you can't always use that as an excuse. You know it deep down when you need to stand up for something. And we're not doing that, America. And you also mentioned our education system. And boy, if there's one thing I can say, and this isn't very popular to say, but get your kids the heck out of our government education system. What on earth are you doing sending your children to a place that is diametrically opposite to everything that liberty stands for? And I'm not suggesting that there's not good people and good teachers in there, but the point is, it's not controlled by them. It's controlled by our federal government. It's controlled by statist institutions, and they're using it as a brainwash center. And the kids coming out the other side, they don't have the stones. They don't have the courage. And you can only combat that so much. So why if we have any other option, which we do in America still, for now, if you have an option to keep your kids out of that environment, why would we send them into that when they're at their most formable years?
And and they're being taught that that they descended from apes, and so it's really it's broken at the very, very foundation, where when you can't tell a child that he was made in the image of God, and instead you're forced to tell him the narrative that he descended from an ape and that he's nothing more than an animal. You know, why are we surprised that our children go to school, they get in their mom and dad's gun cabinet, take guns to school and kill each other like animals? Well, they've been told for 40 years that they were animals. So, I mean, that's exactly what we should expect. And,
yeah, are we shocked?
if we go back a few chapters from the place we were in Romans earlier, Romans 1:18 says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. And then it says, being understood from what has been made so that men are without excuse. So we can look around and pretty much say, you know, there's no way this stuff could have happened by itself. It took a creator. And when we suppress that truth, I think that, as a nation, we're inviting the wrath of God according to this verse.
Well, and I think there's no question that this nation is under judgment and blindness because of what we've allowed, and we've given up our principle. You know, we've sacrificed liberty on the altar of pleasure, and we've said, no, we want what we want. We want to do what we want. We want to kill our children. We want to make up morality as we go along. And what I say to people, you know, if you're a Christian, the public education system is diametrically opposed to everything you believe. If you're a patriot, and even, you know, I mean, I have people from both sides, and sometimes they get mad when I talk about Christ and my faith, but I still support your liberty regardless. Even if you don't agree with me on that side, but you're a patriot that believes in your liberty, I assert that liberty comes from God. But if you disagree with that, as long as you stand up for your liberty, fine. But that same education system is also diametrically opposed to your liberty in every possible sense. They are actively seeking to destroy that. And it's a shame. I would love for our education system to be cleaned up, for it to be pure again, for it to teach what it should actually be teaching our kids, and let parents be parents. And one of the things during my congressional race was the first thing we do from this perspective, from a federal Congress perspective, is we end the Department of Education. That has to go. And then we can start. There's more than that. It goes beyond that. But that would be a start. Then we could start addressing it on a state or on a county issue and getting some more accountability. But right now, right here today, it's so broken. Don't think you're going to send your kids to a public school and they're going to be an example and they're going to fix it. What it's going to do is it's going to hurt them. And it's going to damage their understanding of liberty and principle and God and faith.
Yeah, and education was certainly never a role of the federal government.
Absolutely,
I
mean, not.
I think that folks could argue if you wanted to live in a state where the state had a role in education, and then maybe in another state where people were encouraged for education to be done through communities or churches or through home groups or however they wanted to do it, and then you could pick and choose which state you wanted to live in. You know, I'm sure there'd be a lot of folks in California and maybe New York that would want to have a state-run education system, and then maybe there'd be people in Texas that thought that wasn't the role of the state government, and that they could pick and choose amongst the states where they wanted to be according to how the law was. But I think there's absolutely no premise for the federal government to be involved in education at all.
No, it's flat out illegal because it's outside the boundaries of what they're granted in the Constitution. And the Constitution in the 10th Amendment says that anything not granted in this Constitution is not the role. The federal government's not allowed to touch it.
And I want to ask –
it's reserved to the states.
I want to ask if we're being conditioned to give up our rights. But when I start to think about that question, I'm a little worried that they're already gone.
Well, I think we need to come back to the foundation on that because my rights are not gone. And we always look at it like, oh, look, they're taking away our rights. The Constitution is next. Here's the thing we need to understand as a self-governing people. The Constitution gives us nothing. The Constitution is the law that we placed on government to say, these are our rules. These are our rights. You will not touch them. And that's what's happening. That's what we're trying to do here on December 13th over in Olympia. We're trying to start something. We're trying to encourage people. I want people, regardless of whether they agree with me on my faith and on every little situation here and there, to understand that their rights are being violated, that the government is trying to take them away. But no matter how far the government has gone in taking away our rights, we still have them. We just have to stand up for them. The Constitution is the law we placed on them. What happens to a law if nobody enforces it, if it has nobody to back it? It's just a piece of paper. It's meaningless. We, the people, are the police of the Constitution and our rights. And if you'll bow down, if you'll say, no, I don't want to deal with that, I'd rather go watch soccer. I'd rather go to the barbecue. I'm not saying we can't do all those things too, but at the rate we're going, the longer we wait, the worse it's going to get.
And we're going to have links to your website and, of course, your great YouTube channel, where it's just got a lot of great examples of somebody not bowing down and not licking the boot of the tyrant.
Appreciate it.
But now, can you tell the folks where they can connect with you? I think you're on Facebook. And then also tell them where and when you're going to have your rally on December 13th.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at Gavin Syme. And that is my Twitter, my Twitter for everything. So my day job is in the photographics and visuals industry. I do a lot of education and videos and stuff on that side. But that's my main Twitter feed that I kind of link out to everything I'm up to. And then my politics and my activism, those do have their own sites. And that's callmegav.com. And you can link to that. And they can pretty much find everything I'm up to. I make blog posts about my videos. There's also information about the upcoming event. It's going to be in Olympia, Washington, at the Capitol, on the large green there. You won't be able to miss us. And that's going to be on December 13th, starting at 11 a.m. So anyone who can get there to stand with us and to uphold our rights, if you have the opportunity, do so. Spread the word. You can also go over there to callmegav.com/donate, and if you want to pitch in and kind of help out with the cause and keeping the message going forward. I run into this problem where my day job gets neglected pretty heavily because I'm always spending so much time on this sort of thing. So if you want to help out on that front, we're putting as much resources as we can right now into the logistics and things like that for this event to make it go off as peacefully and also as loud. You know, we're gonna resonate with this. This is not going to be your average ordinary rally. We're going to turn the state on its ear, and we're going to send some waves throughout the country. And little old liberal Washington is going to send an example to the country that we got to stop being lazy, and we've got to start standing up for ourselves, and we've got to start upholding the law that we placed on government and stop letting it be trampled. If your legislators can repeal it, and if they'll do that, if your judges will stand up for your rights, that's great. But our judges are not there to grant us rights. They're not there to define our rights. They're there to uphold them. End of story. Same with our representatives. So it's not within their authority to say, well, the state's allowed to restrict your guns. Because that's a fundamental right. That's not something that has any gray area. It's not something that's open for debate. And we don't need to wait for judges. We don't need to wait for legislators. We uphold our rights. End of story. You know, I asked this question in a video I did a while back. If you're walking down the road and you see a child about to be raped, do you stand around and shuffle your feet and say, well, I don't know if I have authority. I don't know if that's a violation of his rights. I need to let the judges and the courts work that out and let it happen. Or do you intervene? And so if you see a government who's trying to rape your liberty and that of your children, who's trying to steal our birthright and our safety and our security out from under us, Do we shuffle our feet? Do we say, no, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything about that. Or do we stand up and do we intervene and do we take a stand and say, I will not comply?
Wow, well, Gavin, thanks so much for taking a stand. You've given us a lot of great stuff to think about. And thanks for taking time to come on the show.
Hey, great to be here, Mark. And keep spreading the message out there. Let's keep it moving. And also on the on my site, you can find the event page for this event as well. So there's all the links to the flyer and the event on Facebook where all the conversations are going on. And there's stickers and all that good stuff. It's all over on the site over at callmegav.com.
Very good. Thanks again.
All right. Take care, man.
Are we living in a time of which there is more prophetic writings than of any period in history? Noah Parker, like many in the United States, has been asleep at the wheel. During his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been slowly, systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. The signs can no longer be ignored. Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker and his family as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, by Mark Goodwin, is a fast-paced fiction thriller which looks at how modern conspiracies could play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. Buy The Days of Noah in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.